XM 90s on 9. 5 CD changer. Set on random. Bet you forgot about this one. Enjoy.
Why is it a robot
two.
Voice? Why is it a robot voice? CD changers didn't talk in the 90s or ever. What the fuck are they even doing over there? Cyclone Ranger, and why are they to be avoided? Mad Childish Games. Like a Pokemon fighting game. Now me. Thoughts on the new Mario Kart 8 DLC stuff? No. If people like Mario Kart, they should buy more Mario Kart. If people want more Mario Kart, they're offering it. That's cool. Kotaku writers not being allowed to help people on Patreon stuff. I mean, I understand why you would get to that conclusion and get to that place and, you know, and all that. I think it's a weird way to go. But at some point, you know, it's, you know, we had that older policy of not talking about Kickstarters that were in action, period. That were, you know, we more or less updated. I don't know. Like, I haven't spent enough time looking at Patreon and who's on it and who does what with it to even have an opinion. Like, it's just whatever. At the end of the day, like, all ends of all arguments relating to any of this stuff have gotten so fucking far out there. You know, it's just like, it's one of those, like, don't argue with fools because people at a distance can't tell who's who. That's sort of where a lot of that seems like it got to. I'm just like, I can't even tell who's saying what anymore. It's just like all of this is, so much of it is so fucking far gone. Like, there are cores to all of these arguments that you go, yes, of course. Like, people say they care about game journalism ethics. I can prove to you that they fucking don't, because I've fucking cared about them for like 20 years now, and no one gives a shit. You point out genuine, in rare occasions, of people actually fucking standing up and going like, wait, this is not cool. It is, by and large, something that is thrown aside. People, the audience doesn't actually give a shit, even if you present them with real, genuine, like, no, here's actual fact. This isn't, like, conspiracy theory bullshit. Like, here is a real conflict of interest with someone who's writing about, you know, years ago, there was stuff like that. And it was just, nah, it was like, oh, whatever. So, like, claiming to care about it now when it's clearly just a veiled attempt to, like, keep poking and prodding at people who are interested in equality in, you know, in video games and in all things is fucking crazy. Dub. I mean, the bulk of talk about, you know, game journalism ethics that comes in from people out there in the public, people out there in, you know, that aren't in this line of work. Even the stuff that has some genuine, you know, points to it, is just so surrounded by just bullshit conspiracy theories and nonsense that just, like, people don't really want what they say they want. They don't actually care. What they want to do is they want to fucking get angry on a message board and think that there's no possible way that this game or franchise that I love is not the best thing ever. Clearly they're getting paid to hate it. And it's always been that way. You know? I was getting shit for reviews before there was social media, when people had to email me directly and threaten my life. And they couldn't be, you know, like, they couldn't be further away from the truth on that stuff. You know, people get my favorite conspiracy theory, my favorite, like, thing that people say is like, oh, well, they're being paid to badmouth the competition. As if that's something that actually happens, that is actually an effective marketing tactic for a product. You know? If they, you know, and it's just as preposterous to suggest the other thing, but it's, like, one step closer to, like, you hear it and go, well, maybe, like, that someone would be paid to talk positively about something. But no, like, oh, this bad review is paid for. Like, what? No. Like, what the fuck fantasy world do you live in where that's even, that even makes any sense at all? It's.
Birthday, my brother Fat Joe. This is my Fat Joe dedication mix. Live and shit. Yeah.
I'm taking your request. It's crazy. And you know, like, I've seen it for, I've gotten it for years. I've gotten it for over a decade now. Closer to two decades, really. Of people fucking trying to levy, like put that criticism forth of just like, well, you're being paid to say bad things about this. Like, you're not, you are not thinking about this all at all. Perhaps you are not capable of thinking about this at the level required to actually have the conversation you think you want to have with me. It's not to say that every conversation is like that. I think that there are valid points to be made. I think that, you know, like, I mean, you know me, man. Disclosure, I think, has been a big part of, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with disclosure. There's nothing wrong with stating your position on stuff. And if it has anything that, you know, that someone might perceive to be a problem, even if it's not, let the audience make that decision. But yeah, you know, like, the conversation around video games and coverage of video games has been caustic forever. And you know, I think it's way worse now in certain pockets. And I think that, like, the targets and the way that the targets are being chosen is way more disgusting. But the basic sentiment has been there all along. But, you know, it's one of those cases where it's like, you know, it's not unlike the people that fucking deny global warming and all this other stuff and you know, the way that the news media in situations like that try to give equal time to nonsense positions. And I think that people have gotten so used to that that when people with nonsense positions just get unequivocally shut down, it's like, no, fuck you. Like, we're not even talking about this. You're not worth having this conversation with. They then just... That doesn't make them rethink their stance, go, well, maybe, wait a minute. And instead it's just like, well, they're covering it up! Like, nope. Just not worth having the conversation with you. You're welcome to believe whatever you like. At some point, one's time is better served just fucking doing your thing. Instead of placating people that cannot be placated. Because they don't want to be placated. Because their whole identity is wrapped up in some level of anger. It's not worth it. We spent years at GameSpot when we were, you know, when we were putting forth what, you know, what we thought were objective reviews. You know, trying to be as buttoned up as possible and trying to, you know, make sure that the reviews were bulletproof and unassailable. And you know what people did? They were irrational. They were, you know, rational human beings would read them and go, oh, this is a well-made case. This is a well-stated argument. But those people didn't write in. Instead, people just wrote in with fucking complete nonsense and garbage. You go like, no human being could possibly think that. But they did. And they do. And those people aren't worth your time, I learned. And that's the difference. That's the thing I eventually figured out. Is like, yeah, you know, I could spend a little ton of time, you know, making sure that people can't call us out and you know, and all this other stuff. Or I could just fucking do my thing. Because those people will complain literally about anything. And the rest of the audience either is intelligent enough to fucking figure out what's, you know, what's really real, or they don't actually care. So, that's the thing. And, you know, it's like, there are a lot of people out there engaging people that are fucking, by all appearances, terrible. And, you know, it's, and they engage them thinking like, that, well, you know, I shouldn't have to suffer in silence. I go, well, yeah, you're right. You know what? This shouldn't be a problem. But on some level, when you're being faced by a bunch of people who are so bored that they are merely looking for attention and they're hoping you give it to them, giving it to them is not the actual answer. And that's the thing is, you know, like, you know, you guys are in the chat right now talking about comment sections and stuff like that and why do they exist. And, you know, it's like there's a business reason why they exist. But, you know, I think also there's that idea of like, well, you know, like shutting it down maybe shuts down the problem on your own site. But the whole internet is one big comment section now. That's what Twitter did. And the crazy thing is, like, you know, some sites thought that, like, well, if we switch to Facebook comments, that'll be their real name. That'll be their real profile. I mean, they could create a fake one, but, you know, it's like, that could be their real name and real face. So clearly they wouldn't do the same. And no. Comments from people on Facebook, just as bad, maybe worse. And that's way scarier. That someone's, like, says some horrible, horrible thing, and it's like, by the way, this is me. Come find, this is where I live. It's like, what? What are you doing? It shifts the conversation from like, oh, these are just people that like, if you had the fucking light on, if you shine a light on them, they're going to scurry away because they're only saying this because they can get away with it. Like, no. Some people just are so oblivious to the internet and the reality of what it is and think it's just such a fucking frivolous non-thing that they can just fucking speak their tiny fucking mind into it. And be totally fearless about it. It's like scary. You get scared for society at that point. You're just like, are these people out breeding? Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, this is no good. But yeah, this latest little batch of stuff has been, like, sad for me, you know, and by latest, I mean over the last few days when stuff became, like, a game journalism ethics and, like, that sort of stuff, because, like, I'm someone who has spent, damn near my entire adult life concerned with those issues and trying to figure out the right ways to address them and how much is too much and where are the lines. And revisiting those lines as times change. And making sure that things are still on the up and up. And it's something that I just do because that's, you know, and the change is like, I don't do it for an audience. I don't fucking do it for the satisfaction of people out there. Like, if that helps them, then great. But I do it so I can fucking sleep at night. And so to see that stuff subverted for their agendas, it's just like this is the worst part, said Mini Cooper. Are you in so bad car? Holy sh! Give up and drive around the block, you pathetic fuck. Oh my god. And you know, like, there's a lot of people, like, looking for, like, comment on the initial, like, stuff. And like, what do you think about this? Like, I don't know that I really care. I mean, you know, like, some of the stuff that happened was terrible. But I don't really know any of the people involved, and it's just, like, it's, like, kind of not... not my concern. Sounds like a real fucking unfortunate and a real personal situation that I don't want any part of. And it's just some fucking tabloid TMZ type shit that, like, who, you know, wait. But to try to relate, like, that stuff... like, my action and, like, how, you know... I think it's obviously fucking terrible, and for the people involved, I'm sure it's a fucking nightmare. And I feel for them. I don't really know any of those people well at all, but fuck, it's no good. But to, you know, like, the part where I get mad is where, you know, it becomes, like, somehow fucking tied to what I do. And people using it as some sort of jumping off point to attack the thing that I've been doing for a very long time and have spent a very long time thinking about. And that's where I just go, like, you know, fuck you. Like, that's, no. No, guys. I endure a lot of fucking nonsense bullshit theories about how jobs like mine are conducted. I was like, no, that's... It's fine to take video games seriously. I mean, I do, as a business and an industry and stuff like that. And it's fine to genuinely want your video game reporting to be ethical. The problem is that by and large, it is, and people are unwilling to accept that. Like, everyone just wants to continue to assume that it is filthy dirty, and no one's interested in listening to reason. So, to me, that's another big reason why the latest little burst here is not worth addressing, because it's just like, nah, you don't actually mean it. That's fine. Like, I think it's scummy and gross. But, I've dealt with worse. But, message board culture, just internet culture, and just, the type of people that get attracted to this hobby or, whatever it is. I don't know what causes it. People with too much time on their hands, they get out of school, don't have anything else going on, and spend the entire afternoon getting angry about video games. I don't know. But it's like, does that happen in music? I mean, maybe it's good that it happens, because it means that people still care. Whereas, like, when people don't really fucking lay this shit on movie reviews and movie coverage, maybe it's just, maybe they don't lay it on that because it's all useless. I mean, I've never found movie journalism to be interesting to me at all. And you want to talk about junket culture, like, movies is where they invented that shit. But everyone kind of accepted that and moved on. So it's like, on one hand, it's like, well, maybe it's good that people are angry about, stuff in video games, because it means that they still care. Even if the anger is completely misguided most of the time and off base in a way that, I say that, you would think the natural response from someone would be like, well, then tell me what is the right way. And, but I've also spent a lot of time doing that, and no one fucking cares. So, at that point, that's when, for me, it just became, this isn't worth my time. It's not worth my time, to placate people that have that mentality, or to do anything other than give, them fucking scorn and just joke in their face about their dumb fucking attitudes. I had, one of the few launch day reviews of BioShock, or the only one, maybe the only one, I don't know, that pointed out that it had fucking weird frame rate stuff on the 360 because everyone else reviewed it from a non-final copy that was running off a 360 hard drive at a review event. I reviewed it off a retail disc and saw the actual problem. And instead of someone saying, wow, you really went the extra mile, you did your job, awesome, instead people pounced on me and said that I was biased against the game or the platform because none of the other reviews mentioned it. Like, what? No, fuck you. Fuck you. People don't want the truth, they want a fun story. They want something to fucking be angry about on a message board, something to fucking feel like they got the inside scoop on what's really going on. Here's why that really happened. The game's really great. This person just fucking is on the take. I'm like, nah. And I'm mad because it's like people that are now like pretending to really care about ethics. And trying to frame this like total bullshit thing as like, no, we really care about game journalism ethics and we want to. You don't. You fucking don't. To me, that and to me, that's the frustrating part. It's just like, I've got years of evidence built up of stuff that's just like fucking insane nonsense. It's just sad, like, for, you know, because it's stuff that just like you see it permeating like all of society in some sense. You know, it's the same mentality that fucking leads to people fucking going off about chemtrails and all this other stuff and general mistrust of authority figures, which is like on some level is like fine, we probably should. It's sad that we have to. Point of Games Press if it isn't to look deeply into subjects and talking about the Vita shortage. So, the no one will ever know type of response comes from the sort of people who know how those inquiries go. And how you're not going to get a straight answer out of PR about something like that. Because if the Vita's sold out, and you ask them, hey, why is the Vita sold out? We've noticed it's been hard to find. Like, is it transition? Like, you know, like, hey, talk about your supply chain. Instead, they are going to say, the Vita is immensely popular, and we're very satisfied with the demand, and we're working hard to fulfill the increased demand for the Vita. That's why no one will ever know. Because it's not about, like, hey, ask the company and see what they say. It's because you already know what the company will say. It's just not what's actually happening. And sometimes you can pull an end around, and, you know, you get the real story about stuff, and that's how scoops occur. But when it comes to something like that that is relatively mundane, you are not likely to get the real answer out of them when asked. So, so you get deep about the stuff that you can get deep about. You can find people that are willing to talk on the record, or, you know, like whatever. But you spend that sort of... you spend that capital where it makes the most of difference. You know, like, not... if you're going to call in a favor with somebody you got that would be in a position to know something, do it for something big. Not, why are there no Vitas? I don't know, like, you know, on some level, like, I feel like we're in a really good spot with all that stuff. It's, we're commenting on the things that happen, you know, we're offering commentary on the games, on the news, and that sort of stuff. It's less about the company line. It's less about, like, here's what PR has to say about this sort of stuff. Like, we don't traffic in that stuff a great deal, you know. I think we pick and choose news for a variety of reasons, you know. I wish this line of work was as crazy and fucking off the chain as people seem to think it is. Because it'd be like I was a spy. I'd be doing spy shit all the time. Snapping people's necks and meeting shadowy people in alleys and, you know, like all that sort of stuff. Like, that said, like, you know, like, whatever, our jobs are pretty exciting in the grand scheme of things, you know, in the grand scheme of occupations. This one's pretty all right. You got to deal with your share of bullshit, but that's just life. Any job will have that. Well, I did get that copy of GTA in an alley. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, Rockstar seems to want to live their lives like they are spies, so that's why they had a weird unmarked building in San Francisco, and
all their fucking weird shit. Rockstar's just weird. Those guys are fucking weirdos. I mean, honestly, that's the book you want. Like, if you want, like, it's a book that I couldn't write because I don't have enough personal insight into it and don't necessarily have the contacts to make it happen, but, like, the real story of what the fuck goes on at Rockstar, from what it's like to work with the Housers to, you know, the suicides. Like, there are just a ton of, it's one of those things where you run into an ex-Rockstar employee and they almost want to tell you everything because they've been bottling it up for so long. They sound like they were just, some of them sound like victims of abuse. Yeah, there's a certain look that people get on their face when they're not at Rockstar and you ask them about Rockstar. Or, you know, say like, hey, your current job, a lot different from how I was at Rockstar, huh? There's just that look that they all get of just like a, bleh. Yeah, fuck, you don't even know. Like, that's the book I would want to read, is like, former Rockstar employee tells all. I remember running into someone who said he wanted to write it. I just don't know if he was, like, I remember bouncing some stuff off him and he didn't seem like he knew enough. I don't know. Whatever. It's, you know, it's all hearsay. That's the thing, right? Until someone's willing to lay it out there. Someone's willing to generate the list of how many people have the Rockstar logo tattooed under their watch band on their wrist. And what, if anything, it actually signifies. Ah, whatever. It's probably not. It's probably another case of, like, the reality is probably way more mundane than it sounds. It sounds salacious because on some level you want it to be. So I guess that's, you know, like, the whole thing, the whole fucking conspiracy stuff is, it's a double-edged sword. On one hand, you know, it's nice to have this idea that people want to question authority and not just take stuff at face value and actually say, hey, you know, prove this to me. Or you know, hey, you know, talk me through this. Like, you know, I want to hear it from you to make sure that this is on the up and up, and I want to know that for myself and all that sort of stuff. Like, this, that's a, it's like a decent instinct to have. It's just that when people get faced with the facts on something for years and years in an almost overwhelming way and still won't accept it, like, well, there's only so much someone can do before just writing those people off and go like, yeah, okay, you don't actually want to have your mind made up by anyone else on this. You've got your mind made up, and you're just aggressively prodding at this for whatever reason. And that's, you know, and that's unfortunate. You know, that extends across the board to everything. You know, the mistrust of the government to, which, you know, again, I kind of support. Not a real great track record lately in some things. But are they tapping all of our communication? Well, actually, maybe they are. It's just a matter of, do they have the competence to actually do anything with it, right? Some of them are just crazy. You know, it's like people were always very quick to say that we were, you know, like Xbox 360 fans, or, you know, like Microsoft was paying us off to be so positive about the 360 or whatever. When it's like, the reality is, like, I have never really known anyone who worked at Microsoft really well. And certainly don't talk to, I don't really know anyone over there, like, that well. You know, it's like, I've got my acquaintances and stuff, and, you know, I've met people over there, and it's like, I guess, like, the person that I would say I know the most is, like, David Ellis, and he's on, like, the Halo team. He's not even part of the core thing, and that's because he was a writer. You know, it's like, Scooter went into PR, and he's working at the PR firm that Microsoft employs, and so that's maybe technically, you know, but whatever, it's, I don't have a solid, regular rapport with anyone at Microsoft, and I kind of never have. You know, they were always very cold and did everything through their PR firm. And for the longest time, their PR firm just seemed like it was just rotating people all the time. So every time I, like, saw a game was coming out, I was like, we should probably get a copy of that. I would call up, and it would be kind of a different person. And now, like, it's weird in a different way, because now I actually know a bunch of people at Sony super well. Which was never the case. Like, so, you know, It's just that they all work on not Sony products, I guess. Like, they're all, it's like that whole third party team or whatever. But, you know, like that, that's kind of how it happens. It's a small industry and people move around, right? At some point, like, people are like, well, you should never have a personal relationship with anyone in video games ever. And it's like, I was like you once, and then I, you know, grew up a little bit and realized that's not even, like, a reasonable thing, you know? Like, I live my life, like, very deliberately not talking to people who made games on a regular basis, and so, yeah, some of that was by design. You know, we were the reviews team, so beyond calling people and saying, send us the game, you know, we didn't really do that sort of stuff. And then, you know, I started hosting some E3 stuff and on the spot, and that started to change. But that's how it goes, you know? It's like you meet a bunch of people and that are at different companies and or their own company or are your intern. And then all of a sudden they all work somewhere. It's like, well, all right. Gonna keep it professional because that's very important. Yeah, I had a fair amount of cases, you know, where there'd be, like, people who were working on games that I thought were, like, oh, this is, like, a friendly person. And, and all this sort of stuff. Only to, like, then review their game and have them go away, like, vanish one way or the other. Where if I was positive about the game, then maybe they felt they did their job or whatever. And if I was negative about the game, they didn't want to talk to me either. Just like, oh, like, you're totally, like, scum. You're an actual dirtbag. What is it you're saying here? You're saying games publications are inherently kind of broken by virtue of having to be constantly critical of the people they count on to pay their bills. So this isn't actually true. In a pure sense for us anyway. There are different publications that I think are more or less dependent on endemic advertising, but. You know, it's why we run our subscription business, is to not have to rely on that stuff as much as some places do. And, you know, in cases like the podcast, like this podcast that went up today is the first one under our new ad deal. We signed a deal with a company that sells podcast ads, and they do it for a lot of really big podcasts. And as it turns out, we have a really big podcast. Like, getting some insight into some numbers and kind of, you know, how some of the larger podcasts on the internet traffic, like, we're kind of right there. Like, our podcast is fucking big. And I don't know that people realize that. I know I didn't necessarily realize it until relatively recently. Like, holy shit. Like, this is kind of is the biggest thing. This is a big thing. And, you know, when we started talking to this company, you know, they were like, you know, we want you, I mean, you guys are in control of what ads are and aren't on, you know, you can kind of turn some stuff down and whatever, and we kind of said right off the bat, like, we're not going to do game ads on the podcast, because we review games, like, we're still an editorial outlet, and like, you know, I can't be like, hey, small businessman, you should pre-order this game today, like, that just, you know, you can't fucking do that. And they were like, okay, that's cool. And that was that, you know? And so yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, yeah, we have ads this week. One new ad that came in through this new deal. And, you know, we'll have ads from another new company, I think, next week. I think. And yeah, you know, all it was saying, like, yeah, I mean, we can't really do games. It's you know, it's, we're not comfortable with it, with the way that we run our business. And that was it. They're like, okay, cool. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't even necessarily be opposed to, like, if they had a pre-recorded ad that was for a game, I don't know that I would be necessarily 100% opposed to it, because it would be separate from our thing. But in terms of just, like, us reading or, you know, like, getting points across in some silly-ass ad that we record ourselves, like, we can't do that for a game and then turn around and talk about games. Like, that's fucked. That'd be crazy. So... So, you know, like that, and that's money we're leaving on the table. Like, there's actually, you know, we could probably be making more money on that podcast if we accepted game ads, but that would ruin the whole thing. It'd be like a short term, like, yeah, we're really raking it in. Oh, wait, our whole business blew up because no one trusts us. Great. And that's the thing I think a lot of companies and a lot of people don't understand is, you know, like a lot of people are unwilling to think about the long-term effects of stuff and actually have a long-term plan for what your thing is going to be. You know, we need to be able to be in a position where if we're speaking enthusiastically about a game on that podcast, like, there shouldn't be any question that that is how we truly feel about it. And taking game ads, I think, would put that in great jeopardy. And then, you know, like, their game ads run on the site itself. I don't really have a problem with that. I think, you know, like, I think people are used to that sort of stuff, and it's, you know, no one's out there going, like, none of our ads, I don't think any of our ads are deceptive. You look at them, you know it's a fucking ad. You look at it and you go, oh, that's clearly not site content, you know. And a very significant number of our users don't see ads anyway, because they are signed up as premium members. Which changes every conversation for us that we walk into, whether it's meeting with people that are going to sell podcast ads, or, you know, like, hey, what do we want to do to get this stuff, you know, to grow and all this sort of stuff. Like, well, we should probably get more people to subscribe. There'll be more money coming in, and then we can spend that money on stuff. Like, okay, yeah, good call. Let's do that. That's not to say that we're opposed to running ads and all that sort of stuff, or even just doing, you know, doing what we do on the podcast, but in other stuff, I think, you know. So, like, the subscriber event, the event we're having on Friday at this, like, rented-out space, this restaurant that we're having in Seattle, there's going to be Squarespace ads on it. Like, they wanted to sponsor something, so we're sponsoring this thing. Stuff like that bigger stuff becomes a lot easier to do if we can get it sponsored. Because then it's like the costs of the thing get built right into that deal. Of just like, well, we need hotels for this many people, we need this, we need to travel this, and it's like, this is the cost of producing this thing, and here is money that is directly coming in because of it. This is more than this, so therefore, shut up and let me do it. You know? Like, it ends a lot of conversations when you can do that. And so, I mean, there'll be stuff, and it makes stuff free. Like, you know, it's like, I don't want to put everything behind a paywall. I think we need a balance. I think we need a mix, because obviously we hope people will sign up. I don't think that's a negative thing to say. Like, you know, I hope people like what we do and want to see more of it and think it's worth supporting. I hope that's the case. And then sometimes, you know, like stuff that's free, you know, like if it's, you know, hopefully that attracts more people to the site and gets them using it. Gets them discovering what it is we do in our fucking weird corner of the internet. You know, like we went out not that long ago and filmed some stuff that's a little out of the ordinary for us. I think it'll probably go up after PAX because it's kind of a longer edit. But it'll probably go up free. Because, you know, it'll be a cool, weird thing and, yeah, people should see it. And hopefully those people will see it and go like, yeah, these guys seem like likable nutcases. Maybe I will consider signing up to see more of it. Or, you know, or whatever. You know, it's one of those frustrating things. It's like, I feel pretty good about what we do and how we do it. You know, it's one of those things that spent a lot of time thinking about it from an ethics standpoint, from an integrity standpoint. Like, you know, is this something we can defend? Can we look at this and go like, yeah, we feel good about this? But then, you know, some people just don't even pay attention to any of that and just have their own, like, weird agenda that feels like it comes from some fantasy land or something sometimes. I don't know. That's annoying, but it's their right to feel that way. It just, you know, at no point am I obligated to respond, I guess. Like, that's, some people think that, like, some people get all indignant if, like, I just don't want to engage with certain topics and stuff. It's like, nah, that's not, I don't have to. It's like not actually why I'm here. It's not actually why the site exists or why we do what we do or how we do it. Ah, you know. That's the thing, is, you know, you spend every waking moment, like, worrying about those people and attempting to address their unaddressable concerns. Or you can just make more stuff. And at some point, it's just, it's better on a personal level, it's, better on a business level. Like, there are no losers in that scenario. It's like, oh, that's okay. You guys go ahead and blow up about that stuff. We'll be over here making stuff. And, you know, like, we think it's terrible. Don't get us wrong, but It's always like, yeah, I mean, it seems like that there's just a contingent of people, and I don't know if it's the same people every time or whatever, but, you know, it's like now that I have a Tumblr that people can send questions to and all these different things and Twitter and stuff, like, people seem to want me to comment on what other websites are doing. I was like, did you see this? Did you do blah, blah, blah? And the answer is almost always no. I'm good. How are you? Oh, let's see. Can I get a number 8 crunchy with no lettuce and a diet Pepsi to drink? And I'm sorry, what comes on the beefy Fritos burrito?
The burrito comes with rice, beef, Fritos, and nachos.
Okay. Could I get 2 of those then, please? Diet Pepsi, please.
Alright, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
And those are the correct, except the Diet Pepsi?
Yes.
Alright, it's gonna be 77.
Alright, thank you. Fucking thing's got Fritos on it. But it's not the same one. They did another Fritos thing that was like the spicy Fritos. It was maybe just murder food. It was like... It was like maybe the coolest fast food thing. Like, I'm sure, you know, not exactly health food, but... When it comes back to Taco Bell, I eat at Taco Bell a lot more frequently. How about that? That's maybe the nicest thing I can say about it. Is that it keeps me coming back when it's here. Because I know it'll go away. And it's real good. This doesn't look as good as that. We'll see. Reggie Miller.
Cheryl Miller, get her ready too. Smoke out Tuesdays. Act like you know Shade 45. Coast. So light that shit up. I woke up in the
morning. I woke up in the morning. This says Encore Toka Tuesdays on the readout, so I wonder if this is actually just last week's show again.
Whatever, I was so smoked out, I won't even remember any of these calls, bro.
Like a old lady, so faded like some old navy in a old basement with my OG that's fresh off a pro bag.
757.
Okay.
Tacos, no lettuce.
Okay. Okay, thank you. You too. But yeah, you know, it's just for like all the should people support a Patreon, Kickstarter, all the like, I think different people are going to come down on different sides of that issue. It seems like they already are, right? Disclosure solves that problem. You're never going to make everyone happy. So, disclose what you can disclose and let people make up their own minds. You know, all that stuff is still so new. Like, these are new problems. And you have to... You have to think about that stuff. And it's good that people think about that stuff. Like, I look at what Kotaku did. Like, I don't know that would have been my approach. Like, what their policy ended up being. But hey, you know, like, people have to fucking think about this shit. We had to establish a Kickstarter policy and then reevaluate it once, you know, because everything changed again. You know, it's like Kickstarter became a slightly different thing than it was before. And it was like, okay, well, or it was used by more people in different ways. And it was like, okay, this is actually more newsworthy now than we thought it was. And we, at some point, we're doing our readers a disservice, buck about it. And by deliberately not talking about Kickstarters that are in motion, like, part of what we're saying there is that, like,
You know, and this isn't how I Riot Nation, but, you know, like, at the time, you know, oh, you're saying that, like, themselves. And Rio's, I think her and I had out there, like, saying, like, and then get pissed off at guy ran off with all the money, or whatever. But as, you know, it got more and more people started using it, more and more companies started using it that, you know, are not going to deliberately run off with money and stuff like that. You started looking at it going, well, you can figure out, you know, ways to talk about this stuff with an endorsement, you know, like it's like it, you know, like I'd never be out there saying, you should too. No, nope. Unless you're like, that would be the thing. It's cool. Here's a way to get it. Like, difference, but it's a difference. And I think the Patreon thing could be the same way. Like, I'm not familiar enough with the service. Like, I've never used it when people were, oh, well, that's, like, you know, the stuff, the journalism and stuff. Or, you know, like, was it, like, Kara Ellison does her stuff that way, right? And she said, like, hey, I want to go do this thing. I just, you know, like, she's trying to do something. She's trying to fill a need with that stuff. You know, there's this idea, you know, looked at it and go, like, websites can't, because no one has the budget. And that feature's widely appealing anymore. The traffic just isn't that it used to be. So, yes, sites can't afford to see it. Go directly to the, that was the whole kick. Like, you know, where your mouth is. You want to see this type of coverage? Here's a way for you to get it. That's, that to me is real purity to that. As long as everyone's on the up and up, obviously. Honest thing, what is it, like a Game of the Month club or something? But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of the things, disclosure solves a lot of those problems, or at least, you know, addresses them openly and lets people make up their own mind. It really goes a long way, so. You know. And this too shall pass. Growing pains of the internet versus people who don't think the internet should grow, and, you know, it's a lot of different shitty angles on it, you know? But we'll get there. That's the thing, society is resilient. It figures shit out eventually. Love will find a way. I'll see you guys tomorrow.